1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 to 8 in the Amplified Version. Are you ready? Can we read this together? Loud and clear. Let's read. But he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat upon a juniper tree and asked God that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He lay down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and by his head there was a bread cake baked on hot coal and a pitcher of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too long for you without adequate sustenance." So he got up and ate and drank, and with the strength of that food, he traveled 40 days and nights in Horeb, Sinai, the mountain of God. We are going someplace, my friend. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the journey? You know, you're already on a journey, but you're ready for the journey God has for you. Amen and amen. Today is Mission Sunday. Today is Mission Sunday, and the title of our message today, read it. Gaining strength for the journey. Amen. God has called us. God has called us. God has called us according to his eternal purpose. And as we partner together, I love that word, partner together. Everybody say partner. Together. God has not called us alone. God has called us together. As we partner together toward that great and unique purpose in life, in our lives, individually and collectively, we must follow God's pattern. We must choose to follow God's plan. We must follow his path, because his path will lead us to the finish line in our journey. Amen? In life, everything we begin, just think about it. Everything we begin in life has an end. Isn't that true? Has a finish line. And we are gaining strength for the journey until we finish this journey. Amen? There are three things that we must keenly consider in this purpose-filled journey that we are on. We are on it all together. The first one has to do with the past. The first key right here, these things, three things only I want to share about. The first one has to do with our past. Everybody say, the past. So number one, the past. Monument. Remember what God has done. Remember what God has. Okay, I believe many people fail because they fail. I'm not through. I said many people fail because they fail to remember. The book of Deuteronomy is also called the book of remembrance. It was an urgent call for Israel to remember God, to remember his laws and his past actions as they prepared to enter the promised land. The word remember appears over 15 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And God was telling them, recall past miracles. Recall. Now, it's not just the good things, even the bad things. Recall the failures from which I delivered you. Like when they turned to the calf, the golden calf, God dealt with them, and God turned the situation around. Amen? You know? Recalling past miracles, failures, guarding against complacency. In Deuteronomy, it tells us in chapter 8, you know, you're going to places you never, ever, ever dreamt of. You had not even imagined. Houses you never built. Vineyards you never planted. You're going to possess all these things. And actually, they did possess them. But he says, do not forget when you eat and drink. Do not forget why God has blessed you with those things and become complacent, leading to spiritual drift, moving away from God, moving away from the centerpiece, moving away from the true north. Reflecting, I just thought about this, reflecting and learning from the past can increase your strength and my strength. We can't just ignore the past. The past has a place in our journey. The past has a place in our journey because when it helps us remember what God has done. Monuments in the Bible often serve as memorial stones, altars, pillars erected to commemorate divine encounters, to mark covenants, or signify major victories. I'll say this again. What do these monuments in the Bible often serve to remind us of? Memorial stones, altars, pillars erected to commemorate divine encounters that men and women had with God, to mark covenants, or signify major victories. I want to give you two as we go. The 12 stones at the Jordan River and Gilgal in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 and verse 20 to 24. After Israel miraculously crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, Joshua commanded 12 men, one from every tribe of Israel, to take 12 stones from the middle of the riverbed and to do what? And to set them up at Gilgal as a permanent reminder for future generations of God's power. Very interesting. God wanted us not to forget the things he has done, the miracles he had wrought. And that was such a powerful monument. In fact, he even told them he did too. He told them also, get these stones from the middle, and where the priests were standing before the Jordan opened, I want you to put stones there where they were standing. That they will remember, this is where the men of God stood. And the sea opened and we passed through on dry ground. See, how many of you can remember a time when you witnessed God's power working on your behalf in your past? Let me see your hand. Amen. I think it's all of us. The other one is Ebenezer. The stone of help in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, following Israel's victory over the Philistines who had come when Samuel the prophet was worshiping and offering sacrifices to God. The enemy attacked them. The Philistines came to attack Israel. Let me tell you, God thundered. God thundered, I love that word, against the enemies of his people. The enemies of Israel. Prophet Samuel told them to set a monument stone between Mizpah and Shen, naming it Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. Never forget the stones of help that God has placed even in your past. You should always record them and make sure you write and remember them, because those will become sources of strength for you today and tomorrow. Amen. Everybody say, Ebenezer. Could I be speaking to someone here today that God has helped significantly in the past? Let me see your hands. Significantly, majorly, amen? Peter and John were forbidden by the council not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But they answered and said to them, whether it is right, this is Acts chapter 4 verse 20 in the Amplified, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But verse 20 says this, for we, everybody say we, on our part cannot stop telling people about what we have seen and heard. Come on, what have you seen and heard of God in the past? Notice this was in the past. They are talking about the past. These are the apostles. We saw what we saw in the past. We can't stop but speak of them. Why? This is the very source of the strength we need today if we can remember what God did yesterday. Shout yes. Before Elijah arrived under the juniper tree, or the broom tree, like other versions call it, he had a history with God. he had seen the following provision. Remember, he was fed by ravens? They gave him meat. You know, you remember, today it will be drones. Have you ever seen drones that move and actually take medicine to places? But those days, it was God just called his drones who are actually birds. And those ravens, you know, and he took meat to him and fed him during the time of the drought in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 to 6. What did he see? Protection. This was his past. Protection. This was his monuments. Protection from Ahab and Jezebel's plans to destroy him in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 2. What else did he see? Miracles upon miracles, like many of us have seen in the past. Miracles upon miracles. Multiplying the widow of Zarephath's flour and oil. We know that story in 1 Kings 17. Resurrecting the widow's son. Wow. This was the first resurrection recorded in the Bible. Resurrecting the widow's son. Fire fell from Mount Carmel. I mean, well, that was quite a sight. On Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20 to 39, and consumed the sacrifice, and 450 prophets of Baal were destroyed. The enemies of God were destroyed just by one man's prayer when he prayed, prepared the altar, and called on the name of the Lord. The divine fire consumed not only the sacrifice, the bulls, but also the wood, the stones, the soil. And the water that had been poured on those sacrifices was licked up by the fire. Elijah had monumental memories of God's faithfulness. Today I'm here to also tell you of testimonies of those monumentary memories of God's faithfulness in my own life, together with my wife, Jane. When I think about it, you know, I just look back. You can never take your life for granted. God saved me in India, in a place where they worshipped idols. Picked me up, changed me. I would be dead if he had not saved me in India. My lifestyle would have killed me before I reached Nairobi, came back to Nairobi. I was supposed to be there for 5 years. Thank God I managed those 5 years. And while I was still there, God brought my wife to me. And the first day she stood there in a fellowship, actually it was in a cell meeting. We had two cell meetings in our church. She came, and when she's giving her testimony, God saved when I was 11 years old and all that. God told me, there is your wife. Now don't you live here, guys, and go tell a woman, you are my wife. Unless God has really spoken to you. Actually, I didn't even tell her anything until months later, after we had really prayed about that, and she's felt the same thing. I knew her for 6.5 years before I wedded her. Amen? And guess what? We went to the same church in India, Pune. Guess what it was called? NLC. And when we came here, after I came and I had my revelation and talked to pastor and said, God has spoken to me to join with you. I'm still here, pastor. And guess what? After pastor told me that, I connected. Later on, Pastor Misemi approached me and said, we've been praying and we feel you need to join the staff. I joined the staff. My wife left Valley Road, an NPC, and came and joined me. And now, just like we're together in NLC in India, we are together in NLC. We've been together now for 35 years in NLC right here. The end there was not Nairobi in India, because that was in Nairobi. The end there was New Life Church. And it's amazing that we entered in a transition with NLC and LC, LC and LC. Life and light. The Bible says in John 1:4, and his life was the light. It's a divine merger. It's a divine merger. Amen. I wanted to see a journey. I left India, came, we've met the siblings here. We actually pastored with them. My wife and I, we were district pastors. We had 4 district pastors. Pastor was one of them, myself, and also Pastor John and Leslie. And guess what? After some time, they were called. You know, you heard the story. And after they were called, they went to Memphis, started a church. We had the opportunity, my wife and I, through the permission of Pastor Don and Miss Amy, because we went together just to watch and to see what God had done. And I'm telling you, I can testify, and we all can testify, what we saw even then with a small church that he was starting there. God, we could see God's excellence. We could see the integrity that this man and this woman have, even from those days. I am a witness of what God has done in the past, and I believe what he's going to do in the future. If you want to clap, you clap. And I believe what he's going to do in the future is going to be greater than we have ever imagined. Amen and amen. Church, I know that where we are going is in the right direction, and only time will prove it. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord. In about 2 months, I'll be turning 63. At the same time, in those 2 months, I'll also be moving into my 36th year of marriage with my wife. I Googled and I tried two or three years ago, and I Googled and I asked, I am now 60. Google, what is the percentage of 60 and above in Kenya's population? Tell me. Can I shock you? 3%. See, you guys don't understand. Pastor Don and I cannot continue to hang around here like when those were early years. We must allow this church to move to the next. Can I hear good amen? Can I hear better amen? So when Pastor told me about that, my wife and I, and also knowing Pastor Don all these years, I did not learn Pastor Don yesterday. I've known Pastor Don for 36 years now. Actually, 37, if I'm not wrong. I'm talking 36 from the time I became a pastor. But now, I'm talking all these years. Pastor Don has always been, first of all, he always taught authority. That everybody needs to be under some authority. That's God's plan. And in the scriptures, and we've gone through all these things. And I've stayed under his authority that God placed in my life. And many others have done that. And God has never failed us, because God has anointed him for all those years. Let me just tell you something. This is not about the time God is going to stop anointing Pastor Don. Amen? And I can tell you, just his ministry, his heart, his passion, his purity over the years, his integrity, the purpose he's always carried from the beginning, from the time I met him, that's the purpose he still holds today. So you ask me, when he shared, just like you had, when he shared with my wife and I put a thumbs up, because I knew what I was putting a thumbs up to. Can I hear a good amen? Amen? When the present feels uncertain, build monuments from God's faithfulness in your past. The past becomes a monument that reminds us God has been faithful before. And therefore, he'll be faithful today. Amen? How many of you know God never changes? Secondly, we looked at the past. Now the present. Present is moment. God cares about what you are carrying now, where you're at right now. Don't let what you're facing make you forget what you have seen. We can go through so much today that we've actually forget yesterday's miracle, yesterday's blessing, yesterday's breakthrough, yesterday's help. What God did yesterday or years ago. We didn't have children for 9 years. We can forget that now that we have children. But we can't forget that it was God's doing, not our own. Amen? Realize that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Change is inevitable. Change will come. Change will come. Pastor, preach on this. I don't have to preach on it. But growth, it is our responsibility to stay growing, to keep growing, no matter what changes we are going through. Don't stop growing. Don't stop moving. Don't stop doing. Don't stop being. Amen. Change happens whether we like it or not. But how you respond to it is your choice and my choice. Let us embrace change and seek growth, and we'll never have to regret it. Embrace change. Seek growth. From our opening text, God doesn't meet Elijah's exhaustion with a lecture, but with tender care. Some of you are exhausted. You're here, you just need, some of you need, let me tell you what you need. Some of you need sleep. Some of you need food. You're hungry. You're not feeling well. You need to be fed well. Amen. Today I've come to feed you well, the word of God. Some of you need water to drink. You need refreshing. That's exactly what's happening here in this passage. You see, don't forget that Elijah had traveled a day's journey, and a day's journey is about 30 to 40 kilometers. In one day, it's like from here to Thika, on foot. Depending on the terrain, it will take 30 to 40 kilometers. And he was therefore exhausted. Some of us have been traveling. Some of us are traveling physically. Others are traveling in their mind. Your mind is going everywhere. At 30 kilometers per hour, increasing to 100 kilometers per hour. Let me tell you, God's got you. No matter where you're at. He was ahead of him, because when he came in his journey, he found a juniper tree. Now notice this, a juniper tree grows in dry places. And the other thing is that it's an evergreen tree. It never dries up, which means there was a shade. I remember Miss Amy's message. Remember the tree at Mara? It had been there before the Israelites got there. And it helped them when the need was very imminent. Amen? Elijah was running away, fearing Jezebel's threats, and now he was extremely exhausted. Sometimes change can wear us out spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even physically. Change is not easy sometimes. Maybe that's why some people are oversleeping. Maybe that's why some people are not sleeping. Maybe that's why some people are not eating. What? Maybe that's why some people are overeating. I don't know why it fits you or suits you. That's the bottom line. Someone may be asking, someone may be asking, but why do we have to transition? Can't we stay the way we are? Nobody wants change. Usually most people, high percentage, want to remain the way things are, things to remain the way they are. I like what we have. I don't want change. What do you think? Then they turn to other people. Oh, no, naje hii change. Oh, no, nafikiriaje. Sisi na Life Church. Oh, no, naje. Hata zipelekane. Sini mwapatia siri hapa. LC, LC, LC with LC. Life Church with Lighthouse Church. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Many times we go to people to look for answers, and James, the brother of Jesus, said this. He said this. You can write the scripture. The brother of Jesus says this in James chapter 5, verse 13a in the Amplified. What did he say? Is anyone full of questions? Are you suffering? You have no answers. Are you in trouble? You're going through some trouble. Mentally, emotionally, it doesn't matter what trouble. Trouble is trouble. He says, one word, pray. Tell your neighbor, pray. Look at them and tell them, pray, Joe. Or pray, brah. People don't think we know these things. Say, pray. See, the important thing is that when you pray, get what happens. When you pray, you will receive from God the same spirit, the same truth with which your leaders have received. You either believe them or go back to God, and God will not lie. Amen? But now if you engage everybody to find out, because you still want to sort your problem, you will be more confused, because everybody has given you a piece of their mind, and it has made your mind so difficult to even handle, because it's full of pieces of other people's mind. Now you're even more confused than a termite. You feel like than a termite in yo-yo. Weariness is real. Can I hear an amen? Disappointment is real. Can I hear another amen? Grief, not that you're celebrating. Grief is real. Can I hear an amen? Because unless you're going through it, you don't understand. God does not ask us to pretend otherwise. He wants to meet you right where you are. Right where you are. Just tell God I'm tired. Just tell God I'm hungry. Just tell God I don't understand. Just tell God. Just tell it to him. God help me. He'll help you. Amen. God feed me. He'll feed you. God will meet you in the moment. But he doesn't intend for the moment to become your permanent address. God wants us to rest. Receive nourishment. I'm telling you today, this service, you're going to receive rest. In your soul, for your soul. Receive nourishment. Receive strength. Be refreshed. Be renewed. Be revived. God wants to give you his wisdom, his understanding, his favor, his blessing and victory. Say amen. See, God met Elijah in that moment to give him sustenance he needed for his next. Come on, God has something. He's refreshing you today because he knows you have a next tomorrow. He's concerned about your next, my next. God won't leave you where you're at, discouraged, despairing, almost giving up. I met somebody yesterday when I was preparing my message. He told me, I've given up. He said, I've given up. I said, why? And I ministered this message to them before they even could give up. They left the office encouraged. I pray as I'm ministering this message to you, you will leave this house encouraged more than you came. Amen? Amen. He's concerned about your next. God knows what you need. God knows what we need as a church. And even though we may feel inadequate, God himself is more than adequate. He's more than enough. He's the El Shaddai. Growth stops when we lose the tension between where we are and where we could be. Where we are and where we could be. A rubber band only has value when it is stretched. And what God is doing right now is stretching us for where he wants to take us. We become who we are supposed to be when we let God stretch us. We improve only when we expand and stretch ourselves and allow God to stretch us. So I'm asking you, allow God to stretch you. Determined to make today count, make it matter. Make each day your masterpiece. Live now. Don't live in yesterday's manner. Live in today. People often miss the moment because they are looking behind or ahead instead of being in the moment. Always be in the moment. Everything is now. Now faith is. Everything is now. Maximize your moment. God is stretching us to add value and enable us to fulfill his purpose. And finally, look at the past monument, the present moment, the future momentum. There is still purpose ahead. Why do we need momentum? Because there's a journey to take. Amen? God, we must gain the strength for the journey that we are taking. He came to him and he says, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Why was God strengthening Elijah? Because there was still purpose ahead, waiting for him ahead. It wasn't over. And not your circumstances will tell you that until God tells you. Amen? We have somewhere to go. You know, he's like this guy, he decided, this is a joke we've shared with pastor every now and then. This guy was at home and he was sleeping. And his wife woke him up and said, hey, you need to get up. You know, you need to get up. We go to church. And he turned to his wife and said, why do I need to get up? Give me three reasons why I need to get up. He says, number one, you need to get up because it's time. We need to prepare. Number two, you need to get up because you need to have something to eat before we leave. And number three, you need to get up because you're the pastor of the church. I mean, sometimes you can get that place where you need to be woken up and fed to find strength to go. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't know. Unless you've been there, you know. If we stay connected to our purpose, listen to this, or the why, we will always find the strength to persevere through challenges. This is very key. If we stay connected to our purpose or the why, we will always find the strength to persevere through challenges. Your purpose fuels your perseverance. Let's keep the purpose before us. Let's believe in what God has said and God will do. Amen? Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples of some nations. Huh? Make disciples of all nations. Shout all nations. That means all of us must be in on it. We are all in. I said we must be all in. On what? On that unique purpose and mandate that God has called us to. All of us to go to all nations. You had the pastors. You had the presbyter say here that we are believing as we come together in partnership. We've been launched to plant more churches in a short while. Right now we have about 7 churches here in the country locally. But we are going to see greater growth. We have churches that are being planted. We have churches. We have about 14 churches in Southern Africa. We have another 20 churches in Juba. Amen? God's comfort wasn't simply about making Elijah feel better. God was restoring him because purpose was still ahead of him. NLC, I want to say to you that your purpose as an individual, our purpose collectively, is still waiting on us on the other side of our obedience. Our purpose is waiting. It's still calling. Nations are waiting. Just like Paul had, come from the man on Macedonia through a vision. Come and help us. People are calling for help, and we are going to answer that call. We've answered it already. Amen? Don't confuse a difficult moment with the end of your journey. I believe that we are just starting a new chapter in the great book of God's divine purpose for us. Amen? God gives us comfort for the moment so that we do not lose momentum towards the purpose ahead. Momentum does not begin with massive victories. It starts with small victories, intentional movement, and clear vision. That's what we're trying to put before this church. Pastor has been doing that, and the leadership, the disciplines, and the creativity that we walk in today will give us momentum tomorrow. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I finish with this. I need to say this. On August 18th, 1994, we began sales. And after we began sales, 5 years later, just wanted to show you what momentum can do. 5 years later, NLC reached all the prisons in Kenya except 3 or 4. Some were there. This was done in only 2 weekends. And when Joyce had about the plan, she jumped in with her ministry in it. And we translated a few of her books, and we put those books in our packages that we had taken to the prisons and Nairobi Lighthouse Church had provided. And we had teams, cell groups, go and take up all these prisons all throughout the country. We reached 94 prisons, winning 14 in 2 weekends, and we won 14,777 souls. That may be in our past right now, but I'm trying to show you what momentum will mean. That's what momentum will do to the vision and the purpose of winning souls. I believe that once we gain momentum, even now where we are at, our partnership with the Life Church of Memphis will enable us to do more than we have ever done. Reach more, plant more, raise more leaders, impact the world exponentially with the light and the life of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Can I hear a better amen? I want you to give Jesus praise like he deserves that praise. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I want you to know that the weight is great. The work is great. The load is great. But it's going to take all of us putting our hands to the plow, running with a vision. If we all put our hearts, if we all put our minds, if we all put our resources together, we will finish the task which Jesus called us to carry. No matter the cost, no matter how great it is, we will have the victory, our reward, and our joy one day in heaven. I want you to read these statements here. Read them as I pray. When you look back, build a monument to God's faithfulness. When you look around, receive His comfort in the moment the Lord was with Joseph. When you look ahead, expect to gain momentum. There is still purpose ahead. Father, thank you. Come on, raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, we are turning and looking at those monuments, oh God, building, Lord, from those monuments that remind us of your faithfulness. You never change. God, I'm thanking you right now that even in this moment, you're bringing comfort to those hearts that need comfort, those that need strength, those that are dying, those, oh God, that are being troubled, those that are suffering. God, I thank you that in this service, even as I prayed, God, that you'll be touching, you'll be feeding, you'll be strengthening, you'll be refreshing, you'll be renewing, you'll be reviving, you'll be working your work in our midst like never before. Manifest your glory in our midst today. Father, we ask even now, Lord, even as we look ahead, Lord, that we are gaining strength, Lord, momentum. We are building this thing, and that, Lord, we will be able to fulfill the purpose and the great task that you've laid ahead for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Can you give Jesus praise? Can you give him praise? Give him glory. Give him honor. He's worthy. I want to tell you something. He loves you. He's for you. Amen. He's with you. He's gone ahead of you. He's faithful. Cheer up. Keep the fire. Kana moto. Shika moto. God bless you. Have a great, great week ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen.